Questions you can ask them later at the table. To turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It's a privilege to be here tonight, as I mentioned, and thank you. I think it was Brother Mitchell who arranged everything for us to get settled in here. And we appreciate the support, the faithful support, and the prayer for those that have been praying for us. I think prayer, of course, is the most important commodity that we have as missionaries over there. Oftentimes, we have enough money in our bank account in Fort Moresby, but sometimes out of the jungle, we run out of supplies or funds, and we always need the Lord to supply the immediate needs from time to time. And, of course, protection and safety. And there's so many stories I wish I could have time to tell so many, but if you want to hear some more stories, you can read our newsletters, which are archived on our website. That's healthman.org. www.helzerman.org, that is. And if you want to see some videos, you can go to Helzer Manable. That's on YouTube. Or just check Mark Helzerman. I'm the only Helzerman, I think, that has a YouTube channel and on the YouTube, anyways. So I'm going to read here a few verses, then we'll pray. Verse 1 of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's our word of prayer. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this time to gather here, and all this, all that has been gone into this day, and this, all the ministries and work that has gone into this ministry here, Independent Baptist Church, throughout this day, and Some are coming weary from all their work and ministry. I pray you bless them. Encourage us all as we hear your word read here and as it's preached. We pray you bless it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You see here in John, 1 John here, he's talking about from the beginning of the ministry of Christ and when Christ came and picked these disciples out. And he, of course, was John the Beloved, the best friend, the closest friend, the one that really was the closest to the heartbeat of Christ. And of course, we know that he was John the Revelator and suffered persecution, of course, on the Isle of Patmos. He was, essentially, I think he died there. But he's talking about this gospel that we have been given and the word of life and this life that was manifested. And he wanted other people to find out about it. He wanted other people to have this manifested to them also. So he says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And so he didn't want it to be just for the disciples, just for the apostles, just for the first generation Christians. He wanted this to be for us in our day as well. And so when we see John here talking about this, it reminds me of what we call a communications officer. And a communications officer manages internal and external information flow, creating content like press releases, social media posts, and marketing materials for various organizations, including businesses, government, and nonprofits. Key responsibilities include developing communication strategies, liaising with media and the public, maintaining brand consistency, and sometimes acting as a spokesperson. Strong writing and analytical skills, strategic thinking, and the ability to work under pressure are essential for this versatile role. So as we see, the communication officer relies upon key skills to fulfill their responsibilities. These include the use of their eyes, the use of their ears, the use of their hands, the use of their time, what they spend time doing, or who they spend their time with. So this falls under, I just want to bring out 3 points in relation to this and apply it to our own life, that we would also have this desire that Apostle John said, that these things that we have experienced. I remember when I first experienced Christ as my Savior, when I was about a 5-year-old boy, on a Wednesday night, the church we had just joined recently, up to that point in time, was in Lansing, Michigan, where I grew up most of my life before I got married. And we had just moved there short before I got saved, and it was on a Wednesday night, and I heard the gospel clearly, and Pastor Green was preaching about hell, and I knew that I was headed there because I knew that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And that night, the Lord moved into my heart when I called upon Him. And then, in the course of time, falling in love with the ministry and helping my parents in the Very Precious Seed ministry there, and get involved in different ministries, and just being able to, because we didn't handle Jesus like Apostle John did. You know, he had the body of Christ, but we have now this word here that we handle, and we can experience, and we can take it to heart, and we can apply it to our life, and we can claim the promises. I can still remember the verse the Lord used to point me toward Papua New Guinea, a missionary who had married our pastor's daughter at the time, had been in Papua New Guinea for a couple of years, and then he had gotten attacked by some rascals, and they left him for dead, and broken rib, and damaged eye, and he came back to the States for surgery, but he was going to go back. And that really made an impression on me. But in my own personal reading of the Bible, in Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession." So I did pray. Of course, that verse, that chapter is really God the Father talking to God the Son. But through that being saved and in Christ, I was able to claim that promise, claim that asking the Lord for the heathen for my inheritance and for my own personal life. Of course, I wouldn't expect, and God doesn't expect everybody to be a missionary in Papua New Guinea, because every one of us have our own right of missionary work wherever we are. If it's a mother, you might be training a foreign missionary. If you're a father, you might be raising up a family to serve the Lord to some degree. God might be speaking to you to go to a different country, or God might be speaking of you constantly, every day. He wants us to be a witness of what we have experienced in our own Christian life. And if you haven't experienced Christ, today is a good day to start experiencing that. So you can start to declare it. These things that we have heard, he says, seen and heard, declare we unto you. So we're talking about a communication official. Of course, as a Christian, the Lord wants us to be of that type of a person, like an ambassador or someone that is standing instead of somebody else, like the White House press secretary. When she comes out, Carolyn, Carolyn Levitt, and she'll come out and she doesn't speak on the behalf of herself or what she thinks, and the reporters are asking her questions, and they're asking what her opinion is. She says, "Well, it's not my opinion, it's what, you know, what our president has to say, what his opinions on it, what he wants to convey." And that's how it is for us as individual Christians. Whatever, of course, the Bible says that we need to be ready to give an answer to those that ask us of the hope that lies within us. When people see us manifesting to some degree what Christ has done in our life with a smile on our face and going through trials or hardships we might be going through, and our neighbors see it, or our coworkers see it, or even our family may be seeing it, and they might ask us, how do you have that joy? And we have this opportunity to convey that to them, to manifest it as Apostle John speaks of here. So developing, number one, the thought here is developing communication strategies. No matter what place God has placed you in the body of Christ, we all have this work to develop abilities to communicate. And we saw that in the definition of what a communication officer, their key responsibilities is liaison with media and public. And we have to do that when we're out at the store or going to the bank or different places. If we're out bus visiting or witnessing or at our job, is how we can convey that information that God would have us to give out. And of course, maintaining brand consistency. We'll get to that point. But we find out that we needed to work at developing communication strategies. And there's another message that I try to preach and haven't preached in a while, but it's talking about, in New Guinea especially, there's about 815 languages, I think they've counted. And those are distinct. Some are related, but if you lived in that area, you would learn that language. And our language was developed by the Nuu tribes back in 1950-ish, I think. Two couples went from America into our area on the Morobe province side of the border from where we are on the Gulf side. And they worked, I think, Tom Palmer was the last one before they all have passed away now, I think. He was finishing up that work in 2015, so he invested about 65 years, maybe more. He's come back to visit since then, I think, too. But at least 65 years of his life, and these couples, describing it. Of course, they were just a spoken language. Still is often just a spoken language. People on the outskirts of our language where we live, they have never learned how to read and write their own language. And, of course, now they're learning Pidgin English, or not Pidgin English, but Melanesian Pidgin. And so that can be written and that can be described. And now they're learning English to some degree. But for me personally, to be able to take the gospel and the Bible doctrines and what God would have them to do as an individual, to convey that into their understanding, this is complicated. But in America, when we have pretty much, when we're in the same language and the same worldview to some degree, it still takes a little bit of work to be able to develop strategies of how to win people to the Lord or to communicate the gospel to them. It takes a focused mind, a mind that has been developed for the sole purpose of commitment to the company they are in. And we're in the company of the saved, of the church. And, of course, a mind attending a Sunday night service is not always common in the United States, but among us independent Baptists, it should be common where we can gather together and learn more about how to communicate the gospel to our neighbors and to those around about us. For us who are the company of the believers, we must develop mindsets that reflect the best interest of the CEO of the company. Our Lord expects nothing less. He says it this way. If you turn over in Matthew 16:3. We'll turn over there really quick. Keep our fingers active. Help keep our minds active. Matthew 16, verse 3. Jesus is talking here. He says, and in the morning, I guess we're talking about discernment. And in the morning, verse 3, 16, 3, Matthew 16, 3. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? And so, when Jesus is talking here, is talking about discernment. And one of the things that us as Christians, we have to really develop is discernment of how to communicate and how to speak the proper words. And it's not always easy, as I mentioned before, but it's something that we'll have to work on and continue to work on probably until the day we die, so we can communicate, because there's a variety of people that are around us, different nationalities sometimes, different mindsets, from the heathen to the religious, and so we have this work to do. In Hebrews 5, 12, 13, and 14, you can turn there, but I've got it here also. For the time ye ought to be teachers, this is Hebrews 5:12. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, verse 14, belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As we grow and develop in our Christian walk, I pray that, like for me, it's been 44 years, nearly 45 years of me growing in the Lord. And I started when I was really small, when I was about 5 years old, but still I should have grown to some degree in the course of this 44 years, nearly 45 years of my Christian life, to develop discernment and what to say and what not to say and who to speak to and try to seek the Lord's wisdom of what to do in each situation. So another thought we learn about these communication officers, they manage internal and external information flow. That's developing a mind that can discern both good and evil. We have a lot of information, don't we, coming and going in this day and age with the social media and the phones right at our fingertip. We have, you know, the internet, and so we have to manage that, and at the spiritual level, sometimes it's not always easy unless we're submitted to the Lord. 1 Corinthians, let's turn over there really quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just trying to give some thoughts concerning being a good communication officer for the Lord and for the company of the church that we belong to. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And as we grow and mature, and we let that mind of Christ develop, we'll be able to have discernment in relation to how we communicate and develop the way that, like John, he says, now he's an older man when he's writing 1 John, and he's saying these things, and we felt Jesus, we held Jesus, we ate with him, we heard him speak, and now, of course, we know that the Lord had gone to heaven already, back to his throne, and now John and the other apostles and now Apostle Paul, they're coming along and writing those things down and letting the Holy Spirit lead them so they can manifest it to those in their communities and wherever they were taken. Many of them were taken into torture. You know, they were taken into even beheadings and other persecutions, but they continued scattered and going out and continuing the gospel as we're still required today to do. So the point number two that I like, not just developing communication strategies, but also directly able to interact properly with media. This is a point that goes along with a communication officer, is directly able to interact properly with media and the public for the company we represent, and bringing that into our Christian life is to interact properly with the public as Christians. And so in light of the definition, is creating content like press releases, social media posts, and marketing materials. In our case, we could be preparing messages to preach, posting thought-provoking content on the internet now, publishing music and books that honor the CEO, our Lord, and promote the company. Of course, not with fantasy or fiction or frivolous activities or foolish fables, but promoting a godly environment at home, at work, at school, populating a godly generation for our time. So this is each one of us can, as we pray and ask the Lord, what would you have me to do? I can still remember when I wanted to just get involved in the Faith Promise missions at the church when I was a boy. I got called now to go to Papua New Guinea, and I was too young to start going to Papua New Guinea, but I had to get involved in the church there where I was in Lansing, Michigan. And so I said, Lord, I really want to be able to give to Faith Promise missions, you know. You know, that's the highlight of the church that I grew up in. And I never got an allowance from my parents, maybe got $10 for my birthday, I don't know. A new slacks or something. So I said, Lord, I really would like to give Faith Promise missions. And if you would supply some work for me where I could earn some money. And so that same year, the janitor, the man that looked after the church building, he was getting up in age, and he was, I guess he had done the landscape, and I'm not sure all that happened prior to this story, but he came after school one day. He came and said, Mark, I'll give you $3 if you cut the grass in the front of the church, kind of in front of the church between the road and the church building. And I was really excited, so I had to borrow my dad's lawnmower because I didn't have my own lawnmower. Instead of cutting that for $3, and of course we were in Michigan, so you know, in the wintertime, there's not any grass to cut. But at least I was able to cut some grass for the, you know, spring, summer, and fall time. And maybe even rake some leaves and sell some snow for some more money. But I was able that first year start giving $1.25 to missions. And just starting to develop, you know, then I was able to start working on a Sunday school bus and being like crowd control in the bus, bringing the children, going up to the doors, knocking on the doors. And each one of us had to come to that place where we ask the Lord, what can I do? What is my job? What responsibility would you have me to do and to directly interact properly with this world that we live in for the Lord and the church where we represent, and to represent our Lord the best? In Romans 16, you can turn over there, Romans 16, 17, we say another thought concerning this point number two here, Romans chapter 16, that's the last chapter of Romans, verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions, this is Romans 16, 17, and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good work, by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And verse, I'll finish there. So we have to beware not to let people draw our minds away. We have a lot of influence in this life that we live that will draw our minds away, where we're not going to be as effective for the Lord as we ought to be. So that's a warning there. And in 1 Timothy 6:20, I'll just read this here. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition to science, falsely so-called. Verse 21, 1 Timothy 6. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So we see even in the first century, the first generation of Christians, they had those new challenges. Of course, they were preaching the gospel. They had contentions with the heathen. They had contentions with the Jews. Then they had these people that were trying to draw them away, mixing maybe what they had heard that Christ had said and their own philosophy and vain deceit and using it to manipulate these people, which is nothing new. As we see, you know, it seems like there's every generation, there's 100 new cults or religions. Or I always look at it like this. You know, Jesus said, if you don't do what he says to do, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and you're going to be like brands. You're going to be like branches from a tree that are broken off, and they're dried, and they're dead, and they're going to be gathered by men, and then thrown into the fire. And it seems like every generation has this time of men gathering other people dead without Christ, and they gather in these other buildings with many other different names that we know that don't proclaim the name of Christ, and they're gathered, but they're dead and they're on their way to hell. So we need to refuse. In verse 1 Timothy chapter 4, it also talks along these things, along these lines. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, and also 15 and 16. But refuse profane old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself. This is 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So now Timothy is a second generation now. His mother and even his grandmother had raised him in the scriptures, probably all the way from Genesis to Malachi. And now he's hearing these things and they're being taught by Apostle Paul and John and these other apostles. And they're starting to write these things down that we hold now in our King James Bible. And so he's learning these things. And now this second generation, for Timothy, he's being encouraged to watch out for these old wise fables. And we have new wise fables in these day and age too. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness and meditate on these things. That's the best way. Like the White House secretary, she is always thinking and writing and meditating on what President Trump wants her to say. And of course, maybe she misspeaks herself for a time or two. Who knows? And then maybe when she gets done with in front of all the press secretaries, the people that have come to find out, maybe the president will say, I don't really want this said, or you said it this way, but let's say it this way. And so we're meditating now in our field for the Lord of what he wants us to say, what he wants us to do, how he wants us to communicate to this generation all around us. Timothy was a great communication officer and learned from one of the best in that field. Of course, that's Apostle Paul. We can take heed to this admonition also. So the question that goes along with point number two is, do people I correspond with know that I'm a Christian? That's a first thought. Do they know that I love the scriptures? And do they know that I'm a Baptist and why? It's not only the Baptists that are saved, but I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I mean, the heritage that's been given to me in that name, I'm not ashamed. And of course, I want to tell people why I'm a Christian, why I'm a Baptist, and to promote that which is righteous and to meditate on those things. For the last point I want to bring out, actually, there's another closing thought, but point number three, deliberately maintaining brand consistency. Of course, that was one of the definitions of a person that, say, one of these communication officers, is we need to deliberately maintain the brand. That means the brand is like the namesake, and we name the name of who? Christ. And so we were named earlier, in the early days, Christians, first in Antioch. And Apostle Paul was preaching once, and one of the leaders, government leaders, says, almost thou persuadest me to be Christian. So that's the brand name. We bear the name of Christ, and we represent him, and we need to be the best communication officer that we can be for him, deliberately maintaining that brand Beware of false identities to fit in with the society that we live in. That is, false pretenses to avoid being embarrassed or persecuted. And I think of men like Daniel and men that that have stood the test of time, even when you think about the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I remember one story that I read in that book. I have I think it's an 1850 edition, and it's an illustrated one. It's condensed, I'm sure it's not. And I think there's like three volumes of the actual Fox's Book of Martyrs that was written in the late 1500s, early 1600s by Pastor Fox. And so one I remember, there is these two men walking along, and these two, they call them Mohammedans. You know who a Mohammedan is these days. And they were saying, they were asking about, well, what do you think about Muhammad? And they were talking about this, but the Christians, the godly Christians, they didn't really want to, you know, talk about Muhammad, because they already had, you know, these Mohammedans already had, you know, they're already known for putting to death Christians, Bible-believing Christians, because they already knew at that point in time that Muhammad wasn't really the last prophet, and that his word contradicted the real last prophet, Jesus Christ. And so they refrained for a little while. They said, oh, the Muhammadan said, we won't hurt you, you know, we just want to find out what you think about Muhammad. And so they finally gave in, and they started talking about, you know, Christ and Muhammad and how they're contradictory, and one is true, one isn't. And so right there on the spot, they got slaughtered because they weren't ashamed of Christ. We don't have that situation necessarily in the States, but there are Christians, as we speak today, that are being slaughtered in different countries. I can't name them all because there are many, really, that I've heard of. But we need to be deliberately maintaining that brand consistency. Don't be ashamed of Christ. We live in a society pretty much that it's easy. I mean, it feels difficult sometimes just to give a gospel tract, but it's not like if you give a gospel tract that someone's going to put us to death, you know, slaughter us right there in the street. Hopefully not. But we have this story, of course, Peter. I have two thoughts about Peter. First, to his shame, and then second, to his fame. In Matthew 26:73, you can turn there if you want to follow along. Matthew 26:73, 74, 75. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, one of those Christians, you know, those that follow Christ. For thy speech bewrayeth thee. The question I have in that end of that verse there is, does our speech bewray us that we are Christians? Verse 74, this is Matthew 26:74. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. I don't know Jesus. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, 75, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. And one of the Gospels, it says that Jesus made eye contact with Peter at that moment in time. And I think about in our own personal lives, had there been a place where we conducted ourselves in a different manner so as to make people around us not think that we were Christians, or we were more wanting to hang out with that crowd or be with them, or not get embarrassed or feel guilty about being a Christian. But then we see Apostle Peter, to his fame, eventually, as Jesus said, when you are converted, you know, he was already a disciple of Christ. But Jesus said, when you are converted, then you'll be preaching for me. So when he was converted, we know that this is on Pentecost in Acts 2, verse 12. Go over there or just follow along in your mind. They were all amazed. Now this is a different group of people, it seems like. And they were in doubt, saying one to another, this is talking about Pentecost, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. Now he's not ashamed now. This is the fame. This is where his fame was brought forth. And said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is about the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he goes on and preaches, and he opens up the Bible, you know, the Bible that Apostle Peter had was Joel, and he had, you know, the Psalms, and he had all the prophets, and he had, you know, Genesis to Malachi, and that was his Bible. That was the scrolls that were in the library there at the synagogues. And so now today we have the full canon. We have all 66 books. Now we have more ammunition, more of the company words and business that we can articulate in these days that we have, even with it right there at our fingertips. Sometimes I forget the addresses of verses, but I know it's in the Bible because I've read it. I'll think of like a couple words or a phrase to that verse and look it up. We have it right there in our phones, and the scriptures are getting all the way around the whole world, and we should not be ashamed. Apostle Peter here, he was ashamed of what happened back before the cross, right before Christ was crucified. But now, what it was, it like 40 days later? Yeah, 50 days. Is it 50 days? 50 days? Okay, there's 50 days. Yeah, 50 days later. He is bold at Pentecost. And so he's preaching. And he stands up and he starts preaching from the book of Joel. And he says, you know, then he preaches nearly a whole chapter. If you read the chapter two of Acts, I almost said apostle. That's the name in pidgin for the book of Acts. So let your conversation, I'm talking about our communication skills, right? In Hebrews 13, 5, 6, and 7, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. This is Hebrews 13, verse 6. Boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, Apostle Paul is speaking now to the second generation, as we mentioned before, that generation of Timothy and Titus. And now, continuing on, the generations that didn't really always have Christ there to handle, maybe Timothy might have met Jesus, we don't know. It doesn't say for sure in the Bible, but he lived, you know, right at that time. Maybe he was a child and he could have met Jesus, we don't know. But now we live in, you know, how many generations removed? We've never actually physically touched or handled, as we saw in First John chapter 1. But now we have what's written by those that did. And we have that, and we need to not be ashamed. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. How do we know the Lord is our helper? Because we've experienced it. We've had some firsthand experience. Hopefully, if you've been saved for any duration, and you've cried out to Him, and we've heard the testimony tonight, and crying out and asking the Lord for some help, and how many times that's happened in my life. I remember I was praying to the Lord, because what happened is, my wife she had this iPhone, and she had just really recently got it when we were in Cantiba this last term, and she would always go down to the church veranda, the porch there on the church building, to read her Bible just to get out of the house for a little bit in the morning. And she had set her phone up because to get the signal, the digital signal, the phone signal, you had to put it out on this area. You couldn't use it inside the house or inside the church building because the signal wouldn't be there. And so she would put it up there. She had to walk inside the church building to do something and came back out. And just in that 10 seconds, whatever it was, 15 seconds, somebody must have been looking around and spying and took off with the phone. And there was a little battery bank that went and disappeared. And I didn't know where this person had gone, but I didn't know about it until, like, I don't know, it was a half an hour. My wife was looking around for it, and she thought maybe it had fallen off. And so by the time I found out, this guy was long gone. But I was just saying, Lord, I don't know. I mean, if we don't find the phone in 24 hours, it's gone forever, because that's how it is. And so I went down to one of our members. He had a store, and so he kind of, you know, he knows the mindset of the people. And you can't go too far out of Cantiba. Everybody knows everybody. So he actually, and they're good scouts. And so he actually came up and followed what he called tracks. I don't know how they track people. But anyways, he followed up to the person's house. And by that time, the person had already left the house. But he knew who it was. And so he got the word out. that needs to get back. And so we were really downhearted because that was like, we did a lot of our correspondence on this phone. And so we were just crying out to the Lord. If you don't have that phone in 24 hours, it's completely gone. And so the next morning, my wife went back down to do her Bible reading, and there it was sitting all wrapped in a little serviette, hand towel or something, right there on the floor of the porch, less than 24 hours later. I don't know how it got there in the middle of the night, but within 24 hours, we had it back in our possessions. And so we have stories like that in our life. Hopefully you have some stories, and as the Lord has, you have developed a relationship with the Lord in your Bible reading and your prayer life. To some degree, you can have at least one story or five stories or 10 stories. I don't have time to tell all the stories that I have. But we can be bold and say, the Lord is our helper, and I will not fear what man should do unto me. I mean, Peter got to that place where, you know, he was put in jail. You know, he's just sleeping there. You know, I don't know if I would be sleeping in jail. You know, it's not kind of jail that we have today. It was probably rat infested, and, you know, it could have been someone had died in that room earlier on, or whatever kind of, you know, rags or feces or whatever else might have been in that room. It wasn't probably a good place to be. But he was sleeping. You know, it's kind of surprising. The angels had to come and wake him up and help him get out to the road, and then he continued on. And he could be bold. Like Apostle Paul is writing here in Hebrews. Apostle Paul had his own set of stories. You know, if you read any of his epistles, he has a whole list of things, how God brought him through so many trials and tests. And just in closing, we need to also, as a good communicator, is distinguish what is accurate so as not to convey false information. We need to know the facts. Like I was talking about the White House secretary. You know, the people that are asking questions, sometimes they're very devious, and they're trying to trip her up, and they're trying to, you know, mess with her mind and ask the questions in multiple different ways. So she answers the same question different ways so that they can come back and you know, cause her stress. And so we need to be able to distinguish, and it's definitely something that it has to be developed. It doesn't come naturally. As we pray and read the Word, and we develop more of a relationship with the Lord, we learn more about that. Hebrews 13, 9 and 10 says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar where they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle." So now Apostle Paul is, of course, in Hebrews, is pretty much trying to show the Jewish community that we have a better, everything's better in Hebrews, better this and better that, better Savior, a better altar, a better sacrifice. And so we don't have to be drawn back into these cults and clans that twist and mix up Old Testament scriptures with New Testament scriptures and find out what God has for the church today. In Matthew 15, verse 7, 8, 9 says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So we have in this generation so many commandments of men, all these different religious organizations. Sometimes I don't even call them churches. If they stand alone in relation to, they're not following Christ. They're not part of the tradition passed down by the forefathers of our faith, like Apostle Paul and Apostle John that we're reading here. But they're like drawn. People are being drawn away and following these things, and God doesn't want us to do that. Wherefore, in Colossians 2:20, and I'm almost finished here. Colossians 2:20, it says, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men." So he's saying we need to beware as we're developing communication skills that we don't start communicating things that are not of the Lord. It is a greater responsibility. I'll say not whatever I say, it should not be what my opinion is, not what I think, but as a communication officer, I must hold to the standards and scripts of the Lord who I represent. It is a greater responsibility, more so than the White House correspondent. We have a responsibility laid upon us to strive high excellence to represent the words, the wisdom, and the wit of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in closing, I say avoid fallacy, ascertain true doctrine, administer an accurate display of the company of whom we belong, and approve that which promotes our Lord Jesus Christ. His brand is nothing to be ashamed of. You know, I'm not ashamed to be of those that are saved and washed in the blood of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy to be noticed by our correspondents among whom we live. You know, I think about those Moravians when they were going to that island. I'm not sure exactly where it was. But the man that owned that island, he had, you know, he had those plantations. And he wouldn't let any church be developed on that island. He wouldn't let the gospel to be preached. Missionaries couldn't come. So these two Moravians, they sold themselves to this man. They sold themselves into that slavery, giving up the rest of their life, maybe 30, 40, 50 years of their life, because they were young men, maybe in their 20s. And as they were getting that ship, they had to even pay the ship with the money that they had gotten to sell themselves into slavery, because their boss wasn't going to pay the fare. And as they were getting on the ship to go to that island where the plantations were, where all these slaves were that they wanted to preach the gospel to, they said, "Worthy, no, he's worthy, the Lord is worthy of anything that we have to offer him." And they didn't, that's kind of a, not exactly how they said it, but Christ is worthy to have his name proclaimed, and how we need to do it. Each individual person has their style or their way, but make sure it's accurate according to the word and what Christ, what is pleasing to the Lord. I'll have everyone stand up and I'll pray and turn it over. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time gathering and singing and testimonies and preaching, and give us wisdom as we go about our daily lives to be proper communicators of your word, and not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and to be we boldly say, the Lord is our helper. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are all communicating something with our lives. And are you communicating that which you have seen and heard of God? Or are you communicating something of your flesh? Something we can all pause to consider in our lives. All right, well, let's bow our heads, close your eyes. I would be remiss if I don't give an opportunity to anyone in here who they don't know if they're going to heaven tonight, if they were to die tonight, if they would go to heaven. If there is someone in here that is the most important need that you need communicated to you, and if there's someone in here who says, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, if you could raise your hand, I want to pray for you. And the biggest need anybody has is if they realize they're outside of Jesus Christ, outside of salvation. All right, just see some small children. All right, Christian, what are you communicating with your life? Lord, we love you so much. Bless this invitation and work on the hearts as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get our psalm books out. And let's turn over to 294. 294 will sing Just As I Am.